If you're hearing this, you must love horror, science fiction, and weird tales. You can help spread that love by signing up at patreon.com/LordBloodDraw. There you can help support the production of Lord Bloodraw's Nerve Rack and Auditorium, a podcast featuring chilling, old-time radio horror shows best listened to in the dark. Lord Bloodraw's Nerve Rack and Theater, presenting the best, worst, and wildest horror and science fiction films ever made. And Captain Paxar's Star Cadet Hour, the kind of show kids in the 60s and 70s would run home from school to see, featuring classic science fiction heroes like Flash Gordon, Tom Corbett Space Cadet, Captain Z-Ro, and many more. Plus, if you sign up, you'll have access to exclusive content available nowhere else, like Lord Bloodraw's B-movie reviews, radio episode commentaries, and more. Sign up today at patreon.com/LordBloodDraw for the love of horror.
Ah, I'm so glad you're here. Allow me to introduce myself. I am Lord Bloodraw. I host horror and science fiction films on my TV series, Lord Bloodraw's Nerve Rack and Theater, but here, in this cool, intimate darkness, I'll be presenting tales of horror and the uncanny solely for you, alone. In this auditorium within your mind, you will coalesce the settings and the players from the ether of your imagination. Your terror will be your own creation. This is the sorcery of sound, the subtle magic of old-time radio. Horror.
Please leave your eyes at the door. You will not need them. This is Lord Bloodraw's Nerve Rackin Auditorium.
Everyone should have a hobby, a little enjoyable diversion to indulge in to escape the grind of the day-to-day. But when a hobby becomes an obsession, it can lead to problems. And when that hobby creates something never before seen in this world, well, our tale tonight details those consequences. From the Hermit's Cave comes the tale, Mr. Randall's Discovery.
The Mystery Playhouse, a rebroadcast for the servicemen and women of the United Nations.
Good evening. This is Peter Lorre. If you like mystery and suspense, if your tastes run to the macabre or the supernatural, if sweetness and light bores you, then, my friends, you've come to the right place. I promise you, there is nothing sweet and very little light here in a Mystery Playhouse. High on some lonely promontory, lives a strange old fellow, known only as the Hermit. His home a cave, hollowed from a rocky hillside. His only companions, a pack of evil-looking, evil-smelling dogs. It has been said that no tale of mystery or horror, of this world or the next, has escaped the hermit's knowing gaze. He knows more than the world does, and he's going to tell you his latest as we take you to the hermit's cave.
He doesn't come up, he won't get any dinner.
You're certain right.
That man. The only time he can be here when his family's all here, he hides downstairs in that awful old basement.
Hey, Pop! Dinner!
Bill, the neighbors!
Pop! Last one of the tables, gargantuan's uncle!
Oh, wait a minute. Edgar! Dinner is ready!
Coming!
And the dinner getting all cold. Honestly, sometimes I feel like going down there and throwing all that paraphernalia of your father's into the trash can.
Yeah, it'd take more than one trash can to hold all that junk.
Well, what does he do down there? Will anyone tell me?
Oh, he just potters around with chemistry and electricity.
What does he accomplish? Smokes up the house with those horrid-smelling chemicals, burns out fuses.
Yeah, but maybe he'll invent something someday that'll make us all rich.
For 3 weeks now, I've been trying to get him to fix that towel rack in the bathroom.
You don't expect a great scientist like that to bother with a towel rack, do you?
Bill, get your hands out of the olives. Wait till your father gets here. I suppose I'll have to attend to it myself, like everything else around here.
You're referring to the broken screen in the bedroom window, Catherine. I was planning to get at it right after dinner.
I was referring, Edgar, to the towel rack in the bathroom.
So, what about it?
Every morning for 2 weeks, I've mentioned the towel rack at breakfast, and every time you said I'd fix it.
I said I'd fix it, and I'll fix it. My, everything looks good. Pass your plate, Kathy.
Edgar, you haven't washed your hands.
Hmm? Are they clean?
You've been fooling around down in that old dirty basement with heaven knows what. I'm not going to eat out of any dirty plates you've touched with those hands. Honestly, Edgar, you're worse than William was when he was...
I've just been adjusting some electrical equipment. I haven't been working with hydrochloric acid or typhoid germs. All right, I'll wash them in the kitchen.
Getting this family down to the dinner table on Sunday is harder than doing a week's wash. And don't dry your hands on my tea towel.
What's that, Kathy?
I said, don't use my clean tea towel. How I would like to have just one Sunday dinner where I didn't have to go around and corral you. Father, the worst of all.
Where is it? What'd you do with it?
What?
Where's that pan of water?
Pan of water I left on the windowsill.
What?
3 days ago, I put a pan of water in the kitchen window. Now it's gone.
Well, I threw it out.
Threw it out? I was saving it for an experiment.
But it was just a pan of water, so I poured it down the sink.
Catherine, I told you to save that. It was full of organisms I was saving for an experiment.
It was perfectly empty, except for the water.
Microscopic organisms. Amoeba, spirogyra, and things. Can't see them without a microscope. Now I'll have to get some more stagnant water.
Never mind your stagnant water. Sit down and eat.
That makes me sick. Man can't have anything around here.
Well, no use crying over a spilled spirogyra, Bob.
I was talking to your mother.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Now, let's not have any arguments, especially over anything so silly.
Silly? That's all the credit a man gets for trying to advance science.
All right, Edgar, dear. Let's postpone advancing science until after dinner.
Man works all week, comes home, tries to relax with a nice, quiet hobby down in the basement where he won't bother anybody. His family throws his best.
Edgar, I don't see why you don't take up a hobby that'll at least get you out in the open air. You're cooped up in that old bank all week, and then down you go into the basement, breathing heavens knows what kind of poison gas.
Kathy, are you going to start that again? I'm not going to work with poison gas. I'm not going to blow up the house. Now, let's eat our dinner.
What are you working on now?
Oh, I'm going to tell you the truth, son. I don't really know.
Say, you've got a lot of new stuff down here in the basement, Pop. Hey, what's this?
No, don't touch it. Shortwave diaphragm.
Yeah? How much did it cost? Hey, does Mom know about it? Does she, Pop? Huh?
The bank took over this equipment from a doctor that went broke. I got it very cheaply. I don't mind if you watch, Bill, but please don't talk. All right.
Hey, whatever became of that substitute for rubber you were working on?
Well, it was the darndest thing. Turned out to be a sort of butterscotch fudge.
I'll be done. Have you still got the formula?
I didn't write any of it down. I just mixed things together.
The funny thing, you know, Doc was trying to make fudge the other night for Sydney, and she got a substitute for rubber.
Milligrams.
Hey, what's in this big barrel, Pop?
Toothpaste.
Toothpaste? A whole barrel full of toothpaste?
Well, it's not quite full. I thought I could save us some money by making our own toothpaste.
So you made 20 years' supply.
Oh, it tastes pretty awful. But it worked, though. Remember how stained this elk's tooth on my watch chain was? Now look.
Gee, I wish if you could only add peppermint flavor or something.
And to tell you the truth, Bill, I'm a little tired of working with toothpaste. This new experiment has gotten me quite interested.
And what is it?
I may be wrong with something I've worked out in that glass pot. Seems to make things grow very rapidly.
What do you mean?
Well, last week I took some one-cell forms and put them in the bottom of that solution. Then I exposed them to some rays from the diathermy. Somehow, it seemed when I looked at them through the microscope several days later, they were 8 or 10 times bigger. A lot bigger than I've ever seen cells like that yet.
Maybe you've got something there, Pop.
Maybe something they can do with any of the big labs, but that's sort of interesting to me.
Well, whip me up a great big amoeba, will you, Pop? I'll lay it on the zoology teacher's desk like an apple.
The trouble is, I don't remember exactly what I had in the solution, or the exact setting of the diathermy machine. In other words, there are too many variables.
You know, Pop, it's guys like you fooling around in basements that really make the important discoveries. You try the impossible and accidentally make it work.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Pop, can I take the car?
Yeah. All right. Be in early.
Okay, Pop. Thanks a lot.
Copper sulfate, 12 grand. You better make it 14 for good measure. Here in the chimney.
Good gosh. What is it?
I don't know. It grew in there.
Well, it's sort of a grayish white blob. About the size of an egg.
The day before yesterday, it was only half that size.
Well, what did you put in there in the first place?
Something I found in some stagnant water. I added a sort of salt solution to water in the tube and rigged up this device that sends a current through the water.
Well, the neighbors are kicking. There isn't a radio on the block that'll get anything but static.
I'll invent something to stop that static.
Yeah, or turn off the machine.
Well, I couldn't do that. It'd ruin the experiment. Doesn't it look as though eyes were forming on it, one on each side?
Yeah, but they're the same size.
I've looked through a couple of dozen books on zoology, and there's nothing like it in any of them.
Well, maybe it's a polywash that went wrong. Well, you're not going to a movie then, huh? How far?
Hmm?
Movie?
Oh, no, I'm a little tired. Here, you take your money.
Oh, I got a date. Well, I'll see you and your pal in a test tube later.
July 8th. My specimen continues to grow. It now is a shapeless mass the size of a cantaloupe, and I've had to put it in a much larger container. Those definitely are eyes on the side of it. They follow me as I move around the basement. I've taken to locking the door. The thing might alarm Kathy if she should come down here. Very good dinner, Miss Lightfoot.
How would you know, Edgar? You barely touched it.
Oh, I'm sorry, Neil. I've had a lot on my mind. The bank exam been there the last 3 days.
Yes, I know. But that hasn't been worrying you. If I didn't know what the real trouble was, I suspect you were being afraid they'd discover you'd double the book. Now that we can talk, that's between ourselves, Edgar. Why don't you let your experiment go for a while?
Now, Kathy.
Please, Edgar. How are you supposed to be doing it? You're nervous.
Nothing of the kind. I feel fine.
You know that's not so. You're pale and thin. Why, I'll bet you've lost 15 pounds the last week. You never were exactly overweight, you know.
Kathy, I wish you'd stop fussing at me.
I'm not fussing at you. I just think you ought to stay out of the basement.
Why?
Why? Because I don't think it's good for you to be down there so much.
Can't a man have at least one place where he can be away from everyone, a place where he can think?
Esther, I never said a word as long as I didn't say it wasn't interfering with your health. But you're spending hours down there. Why, most of the time you don't get to bed before 3 or 4 o'clock. Now, don't look at me like that, Edgar. It's for your own
good. Stop talking to me as though I were a child.
Just see how nervous and unstrung you are, Edgar. What is it you're working on? What are you doing down there, Edgar?
Nothing. I'm building infernal machines. Now, will you let me alone? Just let me alone. That's all I ask. Let me alone.
It's growing every day. This whitish bulbous lump of protoplasm. Its eyes are larger now. And they don't blink, but stare. They focus on me. I turned out all the lights, but I can still see the eyes. They glow in the dark with a green phosphorescence. The rest of the body, if I may call it a body, looks soft and pulpy and muscular like snakes. It has no appendages as yet. No legs, no claws, just this bulbous, writhing, outbending mass. It gives me horror to look upon it. I should destroy it, but I can't. I owe it to science to let it develop. It seems to have stumbled upon some means of stimulating growth. It derives its nourishment from the solution in which it grew. Whether it must live in water or not, I don't know. I put a larger lock on the door as a precaution against I know not what. But the thing is helpless now. It has outgrown the large jar it was in before. It's now in a large aquarium tank sealed on all sides. No one knows it's here except me. I wonder, should I tell someone?
He'll give the whole thing up and never touch any of that equipment again.
He's heading for a nervous breakdown. Bill, I've never come across anything like this before. He's been hard working, yes. But he's always had time for me and for you children. He's never been cross or cranky before. I'm worried about his job.
Vice president,
yes, but even vice president gets by. And just not going to work. Well, I'm going to see if I can find out what's the matter. You run along to school.
Okay, Mom. I gotta get my book.
What do you want?
It's in the 9 o'clock.
What of it?
Can you afford to spend so much time away from the bed?
I've given that place enough of my time for 16 years.
I know. Don't forget that. I hate to see so many years of hard work just thrown
away. Catherine, I'm busy. Now go away.
Edgar, never talked like that to me before.
Well, I am now.
What are you doing that makes you so strange? What have you got down there, Edgar? There's something down there that you don't want me to see in there.
You've got the entire house to do with it. Please, haven't I the right to do as I please with the basement?
There's something down there that's destroying your health and the happiness of our children. I've got a right to see it.
Catherine, don't go down there.
I shall.
Catherine, you're not going to set foot inside this basement.
Please, why?
Because I said no.
There's no reason.
I warn you, Catherine, stop pushing.
Let me go down. Edgar, let me go down.
I warn you, Catherine, stop it or you'll be sorry. You made me do this. I didn't want it. You paid me.
Door to which only he had a key. He went to the bank.
does not need to be submerged anymore. I shut off the current of the wave machine hoping it would die. It didn't. I exposed it to the air. It still lives. It breathes. It's now in a large tub with a heavy iron grating across it. It fills the tub and is still growing. I haven't fed it anything yet. I wonder what it lives on. It keeps staring up at me from the tub, rolling its two oily-looking eyes. One as big as the mouth of a cup, the other the size of a cow's eye. That grayish-white body is now tinged in a revolting pale green. The flesh, if it is flesh, is shot through with tiny purple veins. The entire shapeless mass writhes in the tub, wheezing in the most sickening manner. What are you staring at? Are you trying to get out? Is there a mind in that sickening mass of throbbing flesh? Do you feel? Let's see. I'll prod that revolting hulk of yours with a stick. You feel that? The squishy body draws within itself. What are you? A fish or an animal? Or something the like of which has never lived before? Inside of a bottle. You can't get out. No, you can't lift that crate. You must stay in that tub. Stay till I get up nerve enough to kick. I've got to go upstairs now. Stay there. In your tub. There in the dark.
Let go! do it. I can't.
You don't deny that you were found in your son's room lying beside your wife's body.
It was this thing. You crawl out of the basement, I...
This thing you refer to, you haven't been able to describe it. Was it an animal, a snake, or what?
I don't know. I told you. It was in the basement as it got out. It was in this week.
Had anyone seen it but you, Mr. Randall?
Oh, nobody.
Mr. Randall, how do you expect these intelligent men and women on the jury to believe in the existence of such a creature as you describe? A mass of flesh. No arms, no legs, no head. Just two green eyes set in a pulpy, palpitating, shapeless body.
That's what it was.
And you would have us believe that this jellyfish had the power to smother your son? An active, athletic high school boy? And then wrap its shapeless mass around the head of your wife? An able-bodied woman? And smother her also? I ask you this, Mr. Pratt. Where is this monster?
I don't know. I don't know.
I waste my time and the time of this jury and this court. The defendant leaves you no choice, ladies and gentlemen. You must believe him. You must believe his story. This fantastic yarn about this test tube Frankenstein. Or you must condemn him. Condemn him to the death as a conscienceless killer who smothered the breath of life from his son and from the woman who was his loyal and devoted wife. Which, I ask you, are you going to do?
A little enjoyable diversion to indulge in to escape the grind of the day-to-day. A project worked on in Mr. Randall's basement, which led to the death of his family, the end of his life, and the untold horrors of the thing still loose out there. To explore the magic of old-time radio horror more deeply, take a peek behind the curtains of the Nerve Wracking Auditorium by signing up at patreon.com/LordBloodDraw. Thank you for joining me in the Nerve Wracking Auditorium, and I hope you'll come again. But now it's time for you to rejoin the, real world. I am Lord Bloodraw, and I'll be waiting here for you in the shadows of your mind until the next time you seek the darkness. Good night.